Hi, everybody. Welcome to election night. American. You're American, not American't. It is the Dean Blundell Show from DeanBlundell.com, and a special little election night thing. These things start with a crazy email or tweet. Hey, how you doing? And then they end with something like this. So let's introduce everybody because we're busy people. Welcome from the top to bottom or left to right, James D. Fiore, Blackball Media. Hi, dude. How are you doing? How you doing? You good? You all right?
I'm good. Pointing. I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm pointing to the screen. I'm trying to keep up by pointing. You can't see me, but I'm pointing. Abby Simpson, contributor here at DeanBlundell.com, political scientist and an employee at Ancestry. Really nice to have you here today.
I wish. They take all my money.
Rain Maida from Our Lady Peace, who he's got an interesting perspective because he is down in Los Angeles right now. You're in the thick of it. You're in the heat of it. And I've never seen anybody look more zen in my life right now. Never in my life. You don't.
I'm a good actor.
Dude, you don't look like there's an election. You don't look like, because I know this is important to you. How are you feeling right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think before we went live, we were talking about the fact that there's this, I don't know, I guess it's like this cognitive dissonance, you know, with almost half the country where it's, you've seen this, you've witnessed this abomination, this cult of personality for 4 years. I mean, the adjectives and everything he's kind of stood for, it's really torn this country apart, literally. And people are like, it's the election as we're seeing right now. It's tight. I can't believe how close it is.
Yeah. So what is the, it's at 37:30 right now for Trump. It's early, but yeah, it's weird tight. Like for all the things that have happened, it's weird tight. You're right.
Yeah. It's strange. Like I would have, I gave more credit to just the human spirit, I guess.
Did you think you sound so defeated just by the fact it's this close? I and you know what? I am too, sort of. I'm like, oh, fuck.
I am. I'm really actually surprised. I thought, you know, I try not to pay, like, another thing we're talking about the media, like, let's not be suckers. They're just making, you know, money hand over fist by us tuning in every day, watching all the dialogue and the pontificating. So I try to stay away from that. So even without all the polls and stuff, just the fact that it is close means that this division, no matter who wins, it's still there and you still got to live within it. So it's that low grade depression, unfortunately, is probably going to sustain for another 4 years.
So when you watch this and you see how close it is, and you know, living in the United States, and you and I have had a couple conversations off camera or off, you know, content. You said something to me that I was, you know, and I was shocked by. You said, you know, listen, if this thing goes red again, or if Trump wins, your family had a decision to make. And I thought that was interesting. You know, do we move back to Canada or not? Because you've lived in it. You're in the soup. You would know. I don't. And you would know if it's an extreme decision or not. But according to what you've been through, I mean, that's how this is important. That's how important this is to you and your family, which I find awesome.
Yeah, it is. You know, I got three young boys who are, and it's funny, you know, I remember growing up in Toronto, the only time you knew there was an election happening because you start seeing signs on the lawns or in your neighborhood, you know, didn't even know what either meant. I have a 12-year-old that is so engaged, understands county by county what's going on, demographic, like it's insane. He is so astute on it. I'm like, you know what? You're 12, dude. Like, you shouldn't care about this stuff. You shouldn't care about something that you saw in a tweet or, you know, you heard one of your friends talk about Trump at school, whatever. It's just, that's no place. And unfortunately, it's like, it's everywhere here. It gets in your pores. On the high level side, it's like understanding what Trump's already done in the court system and how that will, you know, the lifetime terms down here are crazy. He's put over 300 judges in and all these different levels, and now the Supreme Court. You know, I mean, I have three boys. Chances are one of them are going to get someone pregnant over the next 5 or 8 years, and maybe not being able to get an abortion is not a great thing. And I'm I'm a Catholic, but like, this is a reality. So if you take it on that level, it's like, we are going backwards down here.
Can I ask you, as someone that lives in the States, what, and watching what you've watched for 4 years, what are those really important things to you? You know, what are the big issues, other than just the general nefariousness of the individual? What are the issues that you're like petrified about? Like, not, you can't bring your family up in a place like this. Abortion would be one of them, and I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean to be crude that way, but it really is more about like xenophobia. You know, there is like systemic racism down here. You know, the white privilege is incredibly real, and this country is really having a tough time getting out from it, even after all the protests, and it felt so incredibly inclusive, and it was just incredible to watch all that stuff happen over the summer. But it's real, you know. So all those forms of oppression are still so prevalent down here. Sometimes they're good at hiding in the cracks, but they're real. And I just didn't grow up, you know, I was really fortunate to grow up in Toronto, such a multicultural city. When you talk about Canada in general, it's a mosaic. It celebrates being a mosaic. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying there's not problems with Canada and there isn't racism, but it's different down here. It doesn't have that element, and it doesn't have that inclusivity, unfortunately. And now you're seeing it really, you know, kind of in real time again, because if there's any moment in history where you would have hoped and thought that human condition, that human spirit would rise up and say, no, man, like, you are a freaking reality TV star that dates back, you follow those breadcrumbs back to, like, I don't know, Paris Hilton and Flavor Flav. We did this to ourselves. We made a mistake 4 years ago, but now we're going to change it back. And that's really not happening.
Mm. Do you think, in terms of it not happening, is it just something, it's early, it's election night, just so everybody knows, we're doing a live cast about the election, Rain Maida from Our Lady Peace, James DiFiore from Blackball Media, Abby Simpson from DeanBlundell.com. The race is closer. You talk about the issues, and then you see the race being close. We tend to live our realities in the future, don't we? Right? Like, that's sort of one of the things that I've struggled with my entire life is I imagine the worst case scenario, and then I live in that scenario. And then I start acting the way that I'm living in that scenario. So I'm walking around on edge, I'm frustrated, I'm pissed off. I mean, that's generally how anxiety works. And the anxiety that's been created just by tonight, from what I've seen and friends that I've talked to all day, I talked to my friend in New York, Jason Lackenfor from the NFL on CBS, and he ends every email with me in the same manner. It's like, dude, we're gonna pull this one out. I know it. And I sent him one. I'm like, guys, you're gonna fucking kill it today. You're gonna take your country back. We will, you know, respect you as a country again. We really hope to have that. You guys have a president that's worth it. And he sent back. He goes, you know what? I've never had this feeling in my life where I'm hoping for the best, but I just have this gut feeling like, I don't know. I can't tell because we got stooped in the last election. You know what I mean? There's that general feeling of anxiety. No one's really willing to go out on a limb, and maybe that's why they're saying it's close, but it is, you can feel it. You can feel it up here.
Yeah, because you know what I think it is, Dean? Because the fact of the matter is, even if Trump loses, he's like going, it's that kind of scorched earth strategy. Mm-hmm. He's already, the damage has been done. Mm. I think what you're talking about is, yeah, you know, good people are hopeful that like the human spirit will rise up and you're going to say no to this guy. But a lot of that damage has been done, unfortunately.
Is that just by him winning the election, Abby, last time when everybody was talking about how they it was going to be a landslide for Hillary, and you're you're sitting there holding the bag at the end of the night going, what the fuck happened? Did the Russians just happen? Like, you know, you don't want to allow yourself to believe that, you know, you might have a new president with, you know, a brain and without an Adderall addiction. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do, actually, because I mean, I guess maybe my gender was the blinders, but I had absolutely no thought that people hated Hillary as much as they did. And I mean, as soon as Trump won Florida 4 years ago, they basically called it at that point. They're like, well, there's not really a path to victory for Hillary. And so that was, you know, that was hard to swallow, but I'd sort of prepared myself. I do tend to look at polls, whether or not I look at them scientifically or not, you look for trends, right? So that morning I woke up and the first thing I did was check kind of these last minute polls, and every poll had sort of become within the margin of error.
Right.
And that was kind of the clue for me. I was like, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. I feel badly. I don't have that same sinking feeling this time, but again, maybe it's dissociation. Who knows? Mm-hmm.
Do you get a feeling about this election though? Any of you guys, James, do you get a feeling like either way, which way this could go just by, you know, the players involved, some of the metrics involved? I would love to believe that America is going to have, you know, a bit of a common sense fart at the end of this whole thing and go, okay, fuck, sorry, we're going to pull this out. But it looks a lot closer. Like, I'm watching the returns right now. Even though Texas is leaning, which is crazy that they're leaning Democrat, it doesn't look like the results don't look like the last four looked like. Does that make any sense to anybody else? Like it's this close?
It makes sense, but one of the reasons that I think we're in for a long night is because we're not going to know who actually wins this election probably until January. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry, the echo's really loud, so it's distracting. But the Trump administration has already said that they're going to call in their lawyers. Whether or not this result is given to Biden, and they're going to challenge everything. And if you remember what Bush and Gore looked like in 2000, it's going to be a lot worse. And I don't think we're going to know who the next president of the United States is for quite a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I.
Oh, and by the way, hold on.
Yeah.
By the way, I think Biden will do the same thing. If it's a close election, Biden will not concede tomorrow if Trump wins a close election. And I think both of those, and I think that if Trump wins or if Trump loses, he's not going to concede either.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know he's not going to concede. I got a kick out of today. I don't know if you guys saw this. I got a kick out of, well, it wasn't really a kick. I read into things, which is probably fucking really bad, you know, during pandemics and major, you know, election issues and civil unrest. I read into things. One of the things that I read into was this massive unscalable. They made sure that they knew that unscalable wall went up around the White House today on top of the other unscalable walls. This one's like a super unscalable wall. What does that mean to anybody? Does that scare anybody here? Does that bother anybody?
Well, if Trump wins, it's going to be, I would say the violence would be worse if Trump wins than if Biden wins. And that's because most of the violence that we've seen, mm-hmm. the extreme arson and things like that that we've seen have been like really fringe left-wing groups. And I just don't see the right-wing groups right now, like they account for a lot of the stuff that the media doesn't cover. Mm-hmm. But as far as what the media does cover, right-wing groups are more or less reacting to left-wing groups. So if they know a left-wing group protest will be at a certain spot, then right-wing groups will go and they'll counter protest. But I mean, I haven't seen, and if you, maybe Rain knows of pure right-wing protests where they're protesting something, like their man's in office, right? So
I think they're fringe on both sides. Maybe this is the hopeful side of me, but I think if Trump does pull this out, I really don't see the left, like the people, especially, you know, the people that were protesting this summer, you know, those protests were 99% peaceful and 110% inspiring. Like you really felt like this was this election that was coming up back in, you know, July on the streets of LA and every other city in America and really even all over the world. There was a reckoning coming on racism. There was a reckoning coming on xenophobia. There was a reckoning coming on all these different forms of oppression that was, it's just like, we've evolved. Like, this is enough. This is, and you could see it where it was, these all these marches were so diverse, and it was really like, not to get all campy, but it was really like, there was a lot of love in the air, and it was really inspiring. And my kids watching that, I have asthma, and one of my sons has really severe asthma. So because of COVID, we couldn't really participate, but we had so many of our community involved. And it was like, okay, this is like, you can feel like there's going to be a change in this country. And so that's why, you know, being really, even being on this podcast, talking about an election that's going to be close is a little mind bending. It feels, it just feels a little surreal.
Just because of the landmarks that we've seen, and just because of some of the major social changes that we've seen through it. I agree. Right. You know, these were big, big wounds. Like I often thought as we were going through this whole exercise over the, and we weren't, you were, I say we, but I feel like I've experienced, cause all I've done is watch the news. But I often thought there's gotta be a fucking point to this, right? Rain. Like there's gotta be a point to this. All of this has to, we need to be able to learn from something. Anytime something goes wrong in my life, I always have to figure out why it went wrong, who was accountable for it. Chances are it's going to be me, right? So the onus was on the American people. The onus was on the American voter to get this right. But a lot of people still didn't feel that way. You know, you saw those social changes, those parades, those marches. You saw these incredibly moving moments. I mean, my God, I remember after the George Floyd thing, and I saw the video, and I was shocked that it didn't bother me more than it did, that I didn't want to look into it more. To me, it was like something that had happened that happens in America, and there's just another one of those awful racist things that happens in America. So that made me look at my own implicit bias. And people can talk about, oh, yeah, you're trying to be part of the you just want everything to be wrong because you're part of the left and implicit bias. Just, no, I really had to figure out if I really did, why that video of George Floyd dying when I first saw it didn't bother me. And the reason why it didn't bother me is because all of this stuff is far too common. You know, all of these things that we have watched have not bothered us for a long time. The death of a black man at the hands of two other guys kneeling on his neck should bother everybody. It really, really should, because it keeps fucking happening over and over and over again. So what that did for me, it was life-changing. It was life-changing to the point where I thought, you need to decide whether or not you treat four black guys walking down the street the same as you treat four white guys walking down the street. That was the challenge I had to give myself. And it wasn't like I went looking for it. I didn't go looking for groups of different multicultural people to see who, you know, but that was in my mind. It was something that I had to figure out. And so when it doesn't comport with what we're seeing today, like that, well, that was a fucking big moment for me. There's a big moment for a lot of people. There's been a lot of racial change, a lot of eyes open. There have been a lot of people that have recounted their position on hate and exclusivity and race relations. There have been a lot of really great things that have, but are we necessarily seeing that tonight? And I think that that's the crazy part, right? You know, the scars will still be there, as you pointed out. You're still going to have to deal with those percentages of people that voted for Trump and are still going to vote for Trump that are still going to live in that country.
I listen, I hate to break it to that was a really good speech, but more black people are voting for Donald Trump than more black people are voting for the Republican Party this year than they ever have.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, do you remember that Saturday Night Live skit where there's Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock were standing there in the skit, and it was a skit about election night 2016 where mm-hmm. one white liberal says to the other, "I can't believe we're going to have a racist president in our lifetime." And they just look at each other and started laughing.
Yeah.
So the racism part of Donald Trump is almost meaningless to minorities because they just assume it's a box that they check for every other president before this, except for Obama.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Abby, you were going to say something? So you look like you were going to say something there, Abby.
I mean, you know what the funny thing is? I'm not an American, but the funny thing is that if I lived there, I wouldn't even care about policies. Mm-hmm. He's so repugnant and clearly not qualified for the job that would be enough. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even care about if you championed every policy I've ever loved in the whole wide world. I'd be like, yeah, still, I'm not voting for you because you're repugnant. You know,
that's the problem. I think that's when you about that cognitive dissonance, it's because the you know, you see all the exit polls, it's the economy still. Mm-hmm. Like COVID is insane right now down here. Like it's not going away. It is all like, you know, 100,000 new cases a day,
yeah,
over 1,000 deaths a day. Like it's out of control comparatively what's going on in Canada and a bunch of other countries. This, it's just, it's nuts, yeah, but it's still the economy. And COVID's like number three on the exit polls, which is just mind boggling. But I think that's, at the end of the day, like it's a, you know, a capitalist society, and the economy wins, and that cognitive dissonance lets your kind of your moral compass, or it lets you violate like those really deep moral beliefs, because at the end of the day, you know, you want to, whatever, your dividends or your job. And I get that, because I don't think that every Republican is racist at all. The problem I'm having is that it is so apparent with this president that you wouldn't have seen more. And you have, like, you know, you follow like the Lincoln Project, or, you know, there's been so many people that have kind of
Midas touch
ship, and they're lifelong Republicans, and they're like, I just can't do it this time. And you know what? It really, at the end of the day, it's common sense. That is common sense to me. For this one anomaly of a fucking idiot president, mm-hmm, let's vote him out, and let's wait for the next, you know, great Republican to shine. Mm-hmm. But they didn't do it, and again, it's the economy.
It's the economy, and I think for some people, I wonder what Trump has on some guys too. Like, I think there's a little bit of theater here. I wonder, like, what does he know about guys that he's completely turned, like Ted Cruz or Mitch McConnell or Lindsey Graham? Like, what kind of pictures does he have of these guys, or what kind of influence or information? Because that's how dude used to run all the time, right? That's how Donald Trump was. He used to run with the dude from Pecker magazine. No, his name was David Pecker from National Enquirer. And their deal was they would buy information on people, lord it over them, and then they would kind of kite from influence to influence, which I thought was funny. But I can guarantee you that he's – and that's kind of what I'm looking for, too. The jail part, like all the guys going to jail, Trump going to jail. I hope Don Jr. goes to jail first. I want to watch it. I want to lead the Frog March. I think that'd be awesome. And like all those things that I'm looking forward to, the little things, we're talking about the macabre stuff, and I get it, because there's that country needs to heal. But one of the things I'm really looking forward to is all the stuff coming out. Like, we know way too much about all the terribleness this dude has committed, right? We know a lot. Can you imagine all the shit we don't? Like, can you imagine some of the stories about how really, truly deceitful he is, how really full of shit he is, some of the really terrible things that we're going to hear about him that guys who are really close to him are hiding? And I know there's going to be a segment of society of people that doesn't want to know any of that. I do. That's the stuff I can't wait for. That and the jail stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you can only hope. Again, we, you know, the irony is we did this to ourselves, you know, like, yeah, the reality thing is just, it snowballed, and finally we did it with the president. But it's, again, it's like, I hate to keep coming back to the same point, but it's just mind-boggling that after 4 years, like, you can make a mistake. We all make mistakes. Mm-hmm. We did that, I think, collectively as a country, but we're doing it again. Maybe that's crazy.
I don't know, man. I don't think I can't see a world in which he wins, but I can't doubt that he wins. You know what I mean? Like, it's close right now. I can't. It's 30-42 electoral map, road to 270. Trump's got 42. Biden's got 30. I'm looking at it right now. Biden's up big in Pennsylvania. That's closed. Texas looks like it's going to Biden as well. Florida, it's a dog's breakfast, 2 points. But again, that's depressing. It's fucking Florida, so who really cares? You know, it's a weird fucking analogy, but like it's almost like it's Stockholm syndrome-y, isn't it? Like, that's how it feels.
Yeah. Weekend at Bernie's is the Democratic candidate.
Stop it. I feel sorry for that dude. I feel like Bernie.
You have to look at the election. You have to look at the election like every election. as an undecided voter or as a moderate or as something like that. Mm-hmm. And in 2016, they ran the most hated politician in America. That was your Democratic candidate. We saw that. We saw what happened to that. And this time they're running Weekend at Bernie's because the man, I wish, even if you love the Democrats, you have to be honest about this. Like, he is not a very strong candidate. He's not very compelling. He's not very, he doesn't have gravitas. Like, he's just, you know, he's just the same stale white guy that you probably see your whole life.
But is that the most important thing here?
Well, no, because it's a reference.
Well, it's not the, it's not a can of soup in there. Somebody, anybody.
You know what? Funny enough, even what's that Simpsons? Remember that Simpsons thing where the inanimate carbon rod was more of a hero than whoever that was on the space shuttle that stopped Homer from crashing it because of potato chip? Yeah. But the reality is that this is a referendum on Donald Trump. So they're kind of lucky in a sense, but wouldn't it be nice if there was someone that was like aspirational or inspirational that you could like say, okay, well, obviously the choice is clear. The choice isn't that clear to people that are moderates, right? Like, they're looking at two really old guys and one of them can talk in complete sentences and the other one can't, but the one that can talk in complete sentences doesn't know what state he's in. So it's a little... you know, that's the election.
Yeah.
Right. And we're not going to know the results of this election, by the way, for a long, long time.
Yeah. Like,
so you're not going to go to bed tonight going, yay, President Biden.
I've got thoughts on that, too. I've got thoughts on how this whole thing's going to wrap up. I'll share them with you closer to the end because I have a feeling there's going to be a little sleight of hand, a distraction, and then a big court case. Abby, what were you going to say? You were going to say something. Sorry.
Well, I think that the Biden selection was because he's in the center. Primarily, like, yeah, he's several of the things that you said. I wouldn't phrase it exactly the same way, but
like he was a dead puppet. Weekend at Bernie's, that kind of stuff.
4 years ago. Yeah, I mean, that's a little bit not where I would go with that, but that's just me. I think that they went for the candidate that was the closest to the center because they wanted to pull as many of the moderate swings that went for Trump because of the economy in 2016. So. What the Dems are trying to say is that the economy is going to be handled the same as it always is, which is the case. Like, no matter what you promise, you govern from the center. So what I think that's what they did. They went with fairly vanilla with Biden. But 4 years ago, they tried that candidate who they did think was aspirational and to, you know,
4 years ago,
the population in a way she was.
Four years ago, they ran the elder statesman establishment person, and then this year they ran the elder statesman establishment person.
Yeah,
that's all that happened. It's just the establishment.
Yeah, you're not wrong, but yeah, but
no, I'm listening. I'm listening to you, Abby. I shut up right there. I just shut right up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're a good husband.
Thanks.
But I also, like, even just to look at Texas right now, which is leaning, like, Dem, like, I don't think that they'll finish Dem. I think that they will finish Republican. But just to see that they're leading, and if you think back to the primaries, when it was Bernie versus Joe in Texas, like, Bernie almost took Texas. Mm-hmm. So what you're seeing, I think, in certain states is, like, especially like a state like Texas that has always been red and it's never been a swing, and all of those huge amount of seats always go to the GOP. What I think that it says about voters in Texas is that the people who do lean left in Texas are exceptionally fed up. So, I mean, and, you know, I'm looking at this and Ohio and Pennsylvania are still leaning blue. North Carolina is now leaning blue. Michigan is leaning red. Michigan was another one where they thought that the Dems could get a pickup there because Trump has done nothing about Flint at all or manufacturing. Mm-hmm. So, however, it looks so far like it's going to go the same way it did 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. So it's really hard, obviously.
God, that's depressing to look at, isn't it?
Political science is not a real science, right?
Rain.
It's theory.
But You should never look at an Electoral College map before 10:30 p.m. for one thing. And the other thing is, we're not going to know who wins this election until like
January,
at least Christmas. Yeah. No, like at least Christmas. Like the real story of this election is going to be the lawyers.
Yeah.
How exciting is that?
Rain, what were you going to say? Sorry.
I think some of what Abby's saying is important, because when you talk about Texas and Georgia in particular, she's right. You know, they're going to be really close, and they should never have been. But there's two things. You know, Stacey Abrams in Georgia, huge advocate for registering voters. She almost won 2 years ago. Beto O'Rourke has done the same thing in Texas. Like, these guys are rock stars, right? people are rock stars. Stacey and Beto. And the biggest component of the switch there, it's diversity. Mm-hmm. Like, America is changing, you know, and white America is going to have to get over it someday and just feel more inclusive. And eventually it will be baby steps, but we'll represent someone that, or we'll elect someone that represents all our values. And I think that's the only hard thing is digesting that it's going to take longer than we want.
Mm-hmm. I think it is too. I don't. I wonder about next steps for you. I wonder about next steps, but I also wonder about some of the other generational changes that are happening now. Right? Like you talked about your son. What is he? 12. You said he's like right into the Electoral College, and he knows. You know, like, did you grow up thinking you'd have like a kid who was like a political whip at the age of 12 in the house?
No, and I think, you know, I have two older boys that are 16 and 15, and they were kind of like, you know, the Obama, you know, administration was big for them, and it was like they didn't have to think about politics, but they were inspired. Mm-hmm. They were just like, wow, you know what? I'm on basketball. I'm my kids are minorities in their classes, you know, in school. And so for them, Obama was natural. Like they didn't never had to think about that stuff, and now. You know, it's mm-hmm. really like literally flipped. And so my 12-year-old can't just be inspired anymore. He's like angry, you know.
Wait a second. Joe Biden doesn't inspire your son? That's crazy.
I get that. But at least, you know, I think we all understand.
All I'm saying is it's a referendum on Trump. It doesn't matter who they – like if that's all well, this that's, is. So if your son is disgusted about Trump – well, hold on a second. If Rain's kid is disgusted about Trump, that's just as good. That's amazing.
Yeah.
But there's it has nothing to do with Joe Biden. Joe Biden is not inspiring anybody. So this entire election.
That's not true, dude. I'll tell you right now. Joe Biden inspired me in the way, and I'll explain this to you. You can shit look me all you want, DeFiore, and I'm fucking serious.
I'm going to shit
look me
you.
All you want. But knowing that
wait
guy.
Wait a second, is this Kieran?
Yeah, no. No. By the end of the yeah, you're driving me crazy. So you can shit talk him all you want, but this guy got out of bed when he didn't have to. He got out of his retirement when he didn't have to, and he came back and he's being propped up for sure by the Democratic establishment. No, don't fucking Christ sake me. I'm telling you the truth. The bottom line is that there are a lot of people out there that like this guy. And for you to shit on the fact that he's old just because he's old isn't fair to him. That's
what it's
point.
Not about him being old. It's not
well, that's all you're doing. Not you're shitting on him. Well, no, but you're taking shots at the guy and you don't have to. It's
this
pointless.
Election has nothing to do with the Democratic candidate. That's all I'm saying. It has nothing to do with whoever they ran for president. They happened to run a completely ridiculous candidate this time, but it doesn't matter
point.
Because the all only right. thing that matters is that the only thing that matters
yeah.
is that is Donald Trump. That's right. The only thing that matters.
Yes, I agree. He is guaranteed driving the bus when it comes to like why everybody is voting,
which is great news yes. for the Democratic Party.
Yes,
by the way.
It is. What do you say to?
It doesn't matter.
What yeah. do you say to Abby? And what do you say when you look at as a female, as a woman, a strong woman, a feminist? You're a feminist, right? I can call you a feminist because I think that's how you agree. You identify as a feminist, a strong
yeah,
feminist. Good. And I respect your opinion. I respect your point of view. I respect your perspective. But as a female, and you watch this being a close race, knowing how he's continued to treat females, knowing how he's continued to minimize women, knowing how he's treated women, knowing how knowing how he feels about females. How does this make you feel when we've made so much progress?
Have we? I think when you look at what just happened with the Supreme Court, you do have to ask yourself, what has the progress been for? because, you know, the U.S. still has a serious problem with lobbying that they are not curtailing whatsoever, you know, and that is extremely problematic. Obviously, like, I viscerally hate Trump for multiple reasons.
Oh, yeah.
My gender among them. but I'm not very capitalist either. So there's that. Mm-hmm. I honestly thought that grab him by the pussy was going to be, you know, his death knell 4 years ago. I honestly thought that. I thought to myself, there's absolutely no way that a man or anyone could run for office and say the things that he says about the people who he wants to lead. And that'll turn around and people will go, oh yes, we would like that, please. Mm-hmm. You know? And so for me, it's hard. Like, at this point, I'm just like, I haven't, you know, given up on the idea that there is progress for gender equality in the United States or elsewhere, but, you know, you see stuff like this and you see how people were calling Hillary Clinton 20 minutes ago the most hated politician in America 4 years ago. And that to me is, sorry, James, I felt that that was just an awful thing to say because it wasn't true. It was anecdotally true, mm-hmm. but it's such a subjective thing to say regardless. And I don't know. To me, it's problematic. Obviously, yeah, I didn't see as much hatred for Hillary as there was, but mm-hmm. I feel that maybe half of the criticisms that were leveled against her were truly justified.
I don't even know, nor maybe do I care. I find, you know what it's funny is that I find that so many people get caught up in like these little conversations around the actual problem. The actual problem to me has been, as we watch the map fill in, the actual problem for me has been there's a real fucking problem in the United States of America. Like, a real problem in the United mm-hmm. States of America. And this is just indicative of how deeply it runs. And I wonder too, when we watch these things come in and we have these conversations, were we just as Canadians, you know, all of us here are Canadian, Rain, you're, you know, by virtue of living in the States, as long as you have a better understanding. Have we just been sheltered from like that segment of North Americans, like that bad segment of North Americans for a long period of time? Because I don't get why you would want to have someone like this in there after what we've watched for 4 years. I don't get how anybody would, other than, of course, your racial leanings and your religious or, you know, business ties to the man's policies.
Yeah, I mean, what Abby's saying about gender equality is, it's amazing, because I think that's what we're, you know, like what we said before, regardless of who wins, the Supreme Court is set up now, the fact that a woman might not have say over her own body, that's a very scary thing. Like, and to think that we would go backwards like that, and I mean, I just don't even understand the concept of a bunch of people deciding whether a woman should have control of her body, but it's a reality down here now for the next foreseeable future that could be stripped away. So never mind like edging closer to something where there's gender equality. This is like just a kick in the face. Mm-hmm. It's mind boggling.
So do you think
especially
you'll,
obviously, like, and this,
go ahead, I'm waiting for you.
I was just saying with abortion specifically, you know, the stats are 1 in 3 women, right? So, and women don't talk about this because it's such a lightning rod issue, but there's not necessarily going to be a drop in people having abortions. There's going to be a drop in people having safe access to abortions. And that is the scariest thing to me, because what Amy Coney Barrett and, you know, the Republican SCOTUS are going to do now is basically make it that states can say, oh, well, we don't want to provide safe abortions. Well, imagine Texas says, we don't want to provide safe abortions, and you live smack dab in the south of Texas, and it takes you 2 days to drive to a state that's going to give you a safe abortion. Like, that is, and are you even going to be able to do that, cross state lines to do that? Are they going to put a law in that says that if a person's from out of state, they don't get one. Mm-hmm. So there's so many questions and there's so many things that they could do. But it's not actually going to prevent people from getting abortions. It's just going to put their lives in danger. Mm-hmm. So it's, to me, absolutely asinine that we're bothering to go back to Roe versus Wade.
Yeah.
40 plus years later, whatever.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, I wish speak. I was gonna say, I wish people would talk about it more in those terms, Abby, because it's, you're so right. It's not about, you're not stopping abortion. Like, teenagers are teenagers. This is going to happen until, you know, the end of time. But it's really providing safe abortions, and that is just, that's not acceptable. Like in 2020, mm-hmm. the fact that you should have to drive across straight lines, or you're going to, I mean, God knows what, whatever methods people are using. It's just not right. Mm.
Systemic, right? Those are the really big personal issues that come from that kind of person being allowed to make policy and law, you know, and to me, it comes down to something that I was brought up in a very religious home, believe it or not. And I see a lot of what I was brought up in the stance that conservative, you know, evangelical or born again movement. And this is just my opinion, but in that same vein and the same people that support him and the dangerous bullshit that comes from it, the inability to love who you want, not allowed to do that, not allowed to get an abortion, not allowed to be pro-choice, you know, not allowed to have control over your own body if you're a female. And that stuff is mandated by religion and the very religion that has propped this up. And that's what I see here. You know, you look at a map and you can see where everybody's kind of filling in. And religion and money specifically are the two biggest drivers here of people that are changing and exchanging their virtues and their values by being able to look past a guy that you know, his very meaning and his very ability to do this job is killing young women, and it's killing hundreds of thousands of people in regards to this pandemic, not having a plan. It's America right now, and I can see it is rooted in like this fucking weirdness, you know, this inability to fucking like someone unless there's a relationship or a motive attached to it. And it bothers me. It bothers me to watch it because I remember when I grew up, I don't know about you, Rain, growing up in Canada, you thought about America like, oh my God, New York City, that must be incredible to live in New York City. New York City must be incredible. America just had this bling to it that Canada did, right? Not so much anymore. Not so much anymore because of everything that's gone into it, the person that runs the country. But it's really this underpinning meanness, intolerant, overly religious bullshit that has somehow caused an entire country to crater. And it's dangerous. It goes into, like Abby was saying, it goes into the stuff that we're talking about now. You know, woman's right to choose and how dangerous it is now because she doesn't have the right to choose. In a lot of places, and how far back they're going.
Yeah, and that's why I disagree with a lot, you know, in terms of some of the Biden stuff that's been said in terms, yeah, is he the best candidate? He's probably not my first choice, but it's not so much a movement of being like moderate in terms of politically moving back to the middle. It's about moving back to the middle of like decency. And that's been a big part of his platform. It's like, this is a referendum on decency. That's what this election's about. And at the end of the day, people always say that you vote with your gut, and you would hope that people would vote with their guts for some of the stuff that we're talking about here. It's like, put everything else aside. Let's just get to somewhere where, you know, we can start really dealing with racism, get rid of all the sexist bullshit and find our place closer to gender equality. Like all those things that you feel like are inherently like just on the precipice of getting close to. And then this guy comes and just like in 4 years wipes it away, or at least divide the country to where it feels like it's almost impossible to find that middle ground now, because it really is. That's what he's done. You know, he like I said at the beginning, with that kind of tribalistic nature he's created here, it's hard to have conversations now. It like dialogue is really difficult.
Do you find that you don't have a lot of dialogue with people about politics, specifically if you know their politics and they don't agree with yours? Like it's just a nowhere.
Yeah. And that, you know, I get it. Some people, you know, you don't want to talk politics anyway, but I don't know. Is gender equality politics? Like is having the right to do what you want with your body? I mean, this is like part of the human condition, like racism, like these aren't politics to me. So you can't even engage in those things because it's just been, like I said, it's that gap now between the two is pretty vast.
Hey, can I ask you a question? You said something earlier, Rain Maida joins us. You said something earlier about growing up Catholic, but being pro-choice. And it's a tough place for people who grew up in a certain religion where you knew certain things were immutable truths, right? Oh yeah, of course that would be bad. You shouldn't do that. But then you come to, you know, a better understanding of how women work, how life works, how DNA works, how the world works, what the difference is between right and wrong. And did you ever struggle with the idea of pro-choice being a good idea? Or were you brought up in a home where they were like, hey, listen, you know, it's still a woman's right to choose. Were you of that progressive family?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't really talked about so much in my family, but my mom is a very strong, independent woman. And I think just by virtue of her influence on me, and my dad is for, you know, like he actually came over from Italy when he was 8 or 9. So he, you know, you would say he's old school, but he's for that generation, pretty progressive as well and thoughtful. And I guess at the end of the day, that's what it is. It's like you know, we want to evolve as generations go on. And so I had that, kind of, there's a richness to my bringing up that allowed me to really decide on my own without having the typical, you know, Catholicism pushed on me to where I couldn't get out from under it. Or, you know, you use typical for religion, you use like confession and atonement as justifications for things. And so I normally didn't use those. And yeah, luckily, and now I married a really strong woman, and it's just very naturally. It's all about equity in our house. Mm-hmm. That's life for us. And so to live in a country where you feel that isn't reflected out there is, that's what we're dealing with now.
Is it offensive?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you go through waves, right? Where you actually probably, I don't know if it's like COVID and knowing this election, the foreboding election coming up, I haven't written music in like 3 weeks. You know, I just really haven't felt creative. I've felt withdrawn that way. So I don't know if a decision on the election will help at all, but there's a lot of it's not very bright outlook for the next 6 months down here, no matter what, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, dude, I tell you what, I think over time we all evolve into trying to understand that things are always just temporary, right? You know, that's kind of the solace I take into most things like this. This is a temporary. These are seasons. Donald Trump is a season. You know, the bullshit that comes with him is an idea, and it's an ideology, but it's a season, and that season will change, and we will evolve. And the one thing I know, and I think that this is kind of comforting for me, and I don't know if it's comforting for anybody else, I can't worry about the rest of the world, and I can't change the rest of the world. And I think for everybody, no matter what happens tonight, and it's looking, it's tight. It's tight. I mean, even if you're discouraged by how tight this race is, you know, I think you really have to, you know, worry about making you a better you, making you a happier person, not worrying about who's red and who's white. Not worrying about who's right or who's left, or who's conservative or who's liberal. You just got to spend 2021 trying to make you a better you. That's the advice I give me every day. Like I, you know, cause I get caught up in this. I'm like, how the fuck can an entire country be this stupid? Like how can so many people be this mean, this racist? Would a racist just come out every 4 years, vote and then go home? Is that how this works? We're seeing some good results here, by the way, just knock on wood, seeing some good results on the actual screen. We got, Joe Biden, he's on the comeback trail. He's projected to win 151 of the electoral college votes that are out there right now. He's got Texas. Florida went blue for a bit, and then it's back. But anyway, we're slowly. There's a lot of unbelievable things that have happened in the United States over the past couple of years. That's my point. And it's hard for me to square. I don't get it.
Yeah, as I was saying before, I don't think you know, I definitely don't hate Republicans. I don't even see the divide as great as probably they see it with Democrats. I just, this is, like you said, Dean, I hope this is an anomaly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's one of those blips in history that we, you know, we made a mistake. And hopefully that, you know, you gotta, like, again, it sounds so campy, but you gotta believe that, people are much more aligned than the media would make them out to be.
Mm-hmm. I think they are. Abby Simpson, thank you very much for doing this. Abby, really appreciate it. Yeah. Did you just say,
thank you for having me.
I thought you just yelled at me. They just went, ah, but I think it might have been my earphones. Either way, thanks for doing
that. That's the female tone of my voice, Dean. You just thought I was yelling.
I don't think so. Rain, dude, it was great to see you. Oh, really nice to see you. Chin up, man. Things are going to get better.
Yeah, sure. Appreciate you guys.
All right, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye. Nice talking to you guys.
Nice talking to you. Take care. There you go. Rain Maida, Abby Simpson. On an election night extravaganza, we lost James there. We lost James. What happened to James? I tubed him. I had to get rid of him. He was too gone. He was having a good time, and he was too gone. So we'll have him back. Still love the guy. It's just, you know, certain decisions. Certain decisions you make along the way that prevent you from being your best. And then when we're doing that, and then I could see it getting out of hand. So I had to, oh, are you saying something? You want to jump in? Oh. What are you doing? What are you going like that for? Shh, why are you telling me to be quiet? You telling someone else to be quiet? Oh, you're telling Abby to be quiet.
I'm just talking to Abby behind your back.
Oh, Abby, you be quiet. Okay, so anyway. But still appreciate the swing there. Fuck, is Rain good too? He's awesome. It's great to see him. So is Abby. Abby's really smart. But boy, James sure threw a fucking pepper pot into that toilet bowl, didn't he? I mean, why not talk about it? It's not that big of a deal to me. We just talked with three people. Sure, one of them was a big-time rock star. The other one's like a poli-sci expert. The other guy is radio, used to do radio. Sure, we're streaming in front of, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of people and stuff like that. Why not get banged up? I don't miss it, I'll tell you that. You know what's missing? I'll tell you what's missing from this world. I'm going to keep going in this podcast for a little bit. I might even bring Abby back. We're not doing anything. Might as well fucking sit around. You know what's missing from this world? I'll tell you what's missing. The truth. Right in the middle of that podcast, James had a bit of a brain fart, so I had to let him go. And I love the guy. I still want to have him back. I've got no issues with him. I'm just like, fuck, too banged up. Can't do a podcast. That's pretty simple, right? You know what most people do? They'd hide it. They'd fucking hide it. No, James is a whip. I think he's one of the smartest guys in the world. He became a little offensive this evening. And I love that about him. That was the incredible part. Is that there is no argument here. I'm just like, I can't have James on. He's too banged up. I'll get him tomorrow. Drop him from the conversation. And then we keep going with the super cool poli-sci Canadian feminist genius and a rock star social activist with just an incredible head of hair. That's what we did. And then we just finished that right off. It was easy to do, but boy, this election shit. It is something else. Joe Biden is crushing Donald Trump in Franklin County. Where is Franklin County? Who the fuck cares? I don't know. Ohio, Columbus, I think. Columbus, the anus of Detroit. Anyway, Trump's up 52. He's up by like a percentage right now. He's up like a whole percent on Joe Biden. Who reminds me, by the way, Joe Biden reminds me of that like waking up your dad in the middle of the night with that drunk phone call. You gotta come get me, Dad. And he's like, "Fuck, okay, I'll come and save you." And he comes and save you. That's what Joe Biden is. He's that dad just coming to save drunk America right now. And while all you people are out there fucking it up, running up the vote for Trump in Westmoreland County right now, who's up 64% to 32%. Nope, wait, that was 2016. I didn't say this would be an up-to-date election night. All you people voting for Donald Trump right now, you know what you're voting for in my mind? This is what you're voting for. You are voting for a racist who rapes people, women, Americans, murderer. I believe that. You get caught up in the left and the right stuff, but I believe that. Like you say, oh, an extremist, your extremist views of how much of a shithead Donald Trump is. No, I fucking firmly believe he killed a whole bunch of people with his ignoramus attitude towards the pandemic. Murder. Willingly ignored. Sold Americans a bunch of lies. Told them it wasn't a big deal. A bunch of people died. Fucking murdered people. Pretty simple equation to me. Too stupid to understand that? Probably. Who's too stupid to understand that? People voting for him right now.
Oh.
That's a fact.
It's fair.
Yeah. Abby's back? Abby, here you're back. I thought it was on my own. Hi, Ab.
Hello.
I'm just watching this fucking thing.
Hello. How's it going?
I'm good. I'm watching this thing roll.
Yeah.
All the other superlatives that we use to say we can't believe it and can't, you know, I'm going to say, he's got to win, right? Like, I mean, Biden's got to win.
Who?
Biden. There's no way he can't not win tonight. Give me your political perspective.
Oh, no.
Take me through this number by number.
There's definitely a way.
Talk to me.
I mean, honestly, there's definitely a way that Trump can win, and there's definitely a way he still can win.
I don't smell it. I
hope so. Like you're looking at the McLeans, which is slightly further behind what I'm looking at.
Okay,
on
what are you
Associated
looking at?
Press.
Talk to me. You got AP?
I'm looking. Associated Press is showing currently 119 seats for Joe and 92 for Don.
Yeah.
Showing that currently Trump is leading the popular vote. By 2 percentage points, which
almost a million
of
votes,
of course, is fodder. That's fodder for him, right? If he wants to call this election illegitimate, whatever.
Yeah.
If he ends up losing the Electoral College, even though, of course, it was the reverse 4 years ago, you know, and that, I guess that goes to another thing when James was saying it was like the most hated politician in all of America. I was like, yeah, but she still won the popular vote. Like, it's just not true to call her that. And it was just, but that was fun for people to say about her. It was, you know, like he's saying that, you know, the media is not covering stuff like that, but it's like, that became the kind of the underbelly, like the alternative media lines, like that he was sort of saying. So it's not necessarily fair. Some of these, and like I say, like I really truly do believe that a lot of the stuff that was leveled against Hillary was trumped up, if you will, and a lot of that obviously has to do with the fact that as soon as he won the election, there was absolutely no more investigation.
Are you still talking about the whole, are James giving shit to Hillary earlier? Is that what you're doing? Are you still on the Hillary thing? Because I'm off the Hillary, and I'm on to the like what the fuck's happening here? Because the polls are closing like right now all over the place. Like, is this does he? Give me your, I want your 60-40, 70-30, 50-50, 80-20. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, in true scientific fashion, I refuse to actually put a number down.
Come on. Give me some
Nothing
odds.
Is fact. It's only theory. I think Biden wins. I mean, obviously the popular vote, what it is right now, is not taking into consideration the West Coast, which is very blue, much more so, especially California, right? So it's interesting too, because like Rain lives in LA. I've got a couple really close girlfriends who live in sort of the Sacramento area of California, and they live, actually the Sacramento friends, they live in fairly red parts of California, and yet they know that the state is still going to be blue, right? So there's not really any doubt that California is going to switch. Mm-hmm. So all of those electoral seats are going to go to Joe from California. I mean, Texas is still leaning blue, which is awesome to see, because like Texas always likes to think for itself, right? Like right. Texas has been red forever, but there's only two political parties.
But it's a dead heat.
That's a huge problem.
Listen to this. You'll love this. In Texas, Donald Trump has 3,818,000 votes right now.
Mm-hmm.
49.3% of the vote. Joseph R. Biden, 3,817,000 votes. So it's come down to like fucking 1,000 votes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, and that's why I say, like, it's not going to stay blue. It's not, that generational change hasn't shifted yet, right? Like,
well, and
James was right. He was saying, like, it'll take years and years for the actual generational and demographic shifts to sort of show on the electoral map.
Can I say, though, I will say this, is that that's why every vote counts. And it's like, you know, when people would say every vote counts, every vote counts, you got to be in, you got to do it, you got to get it. And then at the end of it, you go, oh, fuck, every vote really does count. Like, it could come down to 1,000 votes.
It could. And absolutely. So in some districts, you're right, like there is that. But I'm still a big proponent that first past the post is the electoral system where the least votes cast count, if mm-hmm. you will. So, I mean, we still have that problem. The U.S. has the problem where they only have two choices. So you have to, in a lot of cases, you are, you know, closing your eyes, plugging your nose and voting for the worst or the best worst option, mm-hmm. you know, so.
Yeah, and that's what we all do, always do during an election, right? Like, you know, people say you vote for change, but really nobody ever, like, is anybody voting? The people that are voting for change, oh, there you go. Don't give away the twist. Thank you. People that say they're voting for change, because we got Biden at 119, Trump at 92, both guys are almost 80 years old. That's not a lot of change. You know what I mean? Like, they're just voting to get this fucking guy out of office. I mean, that's what this, and James was right in a sense, right, when he was on with us.
It is a referendum on Trump.
Absolutely. A fucking 100% it is. He's 100% right about that. But it's also like a gut check for the United States too, because, like, you know, they have no idea after the last 4 years. It just feels like they have no idea what's best for them. Almost like it's like a kid, you know, it's like America's like a little child right now. It's like, do we need to get our temperature taken? Yes, rectally now, America. You have to get your temperature taken rectally now. Yeah. That's how I thought it had to be taken life.
And it's that American individualism too, right? You can't tell an individualist. You can't tell them.
Yeah.
They'll figure it out. It's the bottom line, right? So, yeah,
big time.
It's my screen keeps freezing on all of the worst faces that I'm making, and I'm loving that.
Oh, does it?
I'll say that.
Yeah, no screen problems here, but I want to get to watching this election anyway. I'll let you go. Thank you very much for doing this, Abby. Coming back and finishing.
All right. Have a good night.
Thanks, you too.
Bye-bye. All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Just got a couple of texts, by the way, from, you don't have to be part of this, so if you don't want to get involved. Just got a couple texts from James, Sean. Here, get on the mic. Get on the mic. Turn your mic on, Sean. Just turn your mic on.
Yeah, there you go.
So James, I love him, by the way. I got no problem with James. I know he's watching this. James said, still ready. Sorry, your podcast couldn't handle me. Because we had to... James dropped a fucking shitload of mushrooms prior to going on the podcast. And I don't know about you, Sean. It was visible. The slurring and the overall dragging into conversations, it was visible. I'll play him the fucking tape back. But now he's tweeting.
He started to be definitely noticeable
and aggressive. He was getting, and I knew it would happen too. Yeah, it was funny because I knew it would happen. We had Rain on. I was really excited to have Rain on. He wanted to do one of these podcasts, and I'm like, yeah, fuck, let's get him on. And I prepped him today. I said, dude, just chill. Like, we got ready to, yeah, no problem. Just before we get on the podcast, he goes, I just dropped a ton of fucking mushrooms. And I have no problem with him dropping mushrooms. I'll have him on 100 times in a row, and he can drop as many mushrooms as he wants. But that was difficult to listen to. And unless you weren't high on a, you know, a couple grams of shrooms, you wouldn't be able to tell. So, James, I know you're texting me because I'm seeing it. You're tweeting me. He's like live tweeting me right now, asking me basically what's going on. Tell everyone what my brain fart was again. I will, James. You ate like 8 pounds of mushrooms before you came on, and it was tough to understand you. It's pretty simple shit. And here's the thing. I don't care. That's the other part. Like, I think it's funny, Sean. Like, I want to play this tape back. This is the way my mind works. I want to play this tape back for him and go, hey, dude, you were awesome. Watch this.
It was impressive for someone that was on trims. I'll give him that. Well done, sir.
Talking well, towards the end, it kind of got a little weird. And it wasn't content weird. It was just like, I was having a, like, he was physically, you know when someone's so high they make you uncomfortable?
See it in his eyes.
Were you watching him in the screen?
I was watching all you guys. You could see all of you guys reacted to each other. It was fun.
Was it weird?
It was fun. Hey, it's election USA, and us Canadians are up here just enjoying, right?
I know, but like, it was funny because we had the whole thing. Like, I knew that he had dropped shrooms, and I don't care. I really don't. And I was just hoping that it would go well. And it was like, and listen, this isn't a slick operation. I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, fuck, we really knocked that one out of the park. No, just a fucking bunch of people sitting around talking about politics, wanted to have Rain made on. No big deal. But boy, that's
it was a good talk, though. I'm good to get Rain's perspective.
Oh, yeah, smart guy. Yeah. Awesome guy, too. Like, he's one of those cats that life came to him, you know, like, he's just a really good dude. He's like fun to talk to. He's like really disarming. He's fucking cool. He's a great listener, which is, you know, hard for a lot of people, but he's one of those guys, and he means what he says. Like, he actually, he lives a very, very quiet life, but he means what he says. He's one of those guys, when he talks, you're like, yeah, fuck, everybody should probably listen to him as far as social awareness goes. So it was great having him on. So appreciate Rain Maida from Our Lady Peace joining us. And Abby and James.
He was definitely the Zen guy in the middle. He was the Zen guy in the middle of all this footage. I know
you have got
Abby on one side, James on.
He sat there like this the whole time. Like, yeah, because I think he's into like martial arts and shit. Like, he is. He's like fucking, he's a Renaissance man. Rain Maida is a Renaissance man from Renaissance land. That's what he is. And he's bright. So, but he's like, he sat there like this the whole time, having a normal conversation like normal people do. There's me with my coffee, and I'm flicking a pen, and I got this, and I got looking down because I'm writing, and I'm looking over here at the fucking TV, and this was Rain, completely fixed on the conversation. It's because he's a professional, not me, Rook.
We're aspiring professionals. We're working on it.
Should I tweet James back?
Loving it.
Should I tweet James back?
Whatever he needs, whatever's necessary.
For who? For what?
Especially
no, should
mid election here too. There's some stuff going on.
I should acknowledge
this.
I go. Texas is dead heat. What do we got here? Texas is a dead heat. Florida's still leaning R. Colorado went fuck you, Trump. Kansas, fuck you, Pompeo. Pompeo can eat a fucking bag of golden dicks. Missouri, how you doing? Democrat, Kentucky, of course, Mitch. Mitch McConnell, the incredible melting man. Mitch McConnell looks like a perfect cylinder, by the way. He doesn't even, no definition in his chin. Just all that goes, like, his eyebrows go all the way down to his dick. That's Mitch McConnell. But a heavy map. Road to 270 is there. The gimme states are 135 for Joe Biden. He's picked up 89. Trump's only picked up 54 outside of his 115 gimme states. puts the Republican hopes at 160. How's this? How's this, by the way? For like news commentator. This is my news commentator thing. I got different deans. I got Revenge Dean. I got Slip and Slide Dean. I've got Bend Over Naked and Open Up a Jar of Pickles Dean. I got all kinds of deans. This is news. This is political news Dean. So far, Biden's got 89 electoral votes to Donald Trump's 54. 224 right now. The road to 270 looks like it's paved with gold. Looks like it's paved with the tears of Democrats is what it looks like.
Yeah, that's what Fox News is probably saying right now.
I wonder what those crazy fucks are saying right now, to be honest with you. Like, I wonder if they're talking about, like, and in other news, Canada killed four beavers today in the Great Beaver Call of 2020. Just anything outside of this. See, I'm interested in the Senate races. I got, oh, Mitch won, the Incredible Cylinder won his race in Kentucky. Tom Cotton won. That guy's in the KKK big time. I think he owns it, actually. Mike Rounds, don't know who he is. He looks like a fuckstick. Bill Hagerty, fuck him, too. Every time I see red, I just kind of go, eh. Just because it's a thing to do. Like, it's fun to shit on Democrats just because they all love this guy. Shelley Moore Capito, she's out. I don't even know who any of those people are. Anyway, that's it. Probably don't even have anybody watching this shit anymore. I think the most impressive part of this whole thing was telling everybody that James was super fucked up on shrooms, which is why we got rid of him.
Best political discussion ever.
Do you want me to read? You want me to read you the texts that I sent to Sean?
Yes, please go over these.
This is during the show.
Don't make me defend myself. Hey, man. Defend me for me.
Hey, buddy, can you drop James? Please. Please just hang up on him. He's crazy wasted. And I liked it. That's the thing. You know, like, I think a lot of people would get really pissy. Really pissy. I think he's still DMing me. I haven't, he's DMing me. Do you camp these? He's like super, he's like now wasted tweeting, you know?
Okay, well, he's peeking here. He's peeking on the shrooms.
Yeah. He's like, no, he's now, I think he's like listening and tweeting at the same time, which is pretty funny. Are you fucking kidding me? If you blame this on shrooms, come on, dude. Like, this is who I am. Did Rain's feelings get hurt? Like, he just, you know, that kind of, we'll let him sleep it off.
Or I'm gonna, like, let him sleep this one off. As far as I know, shrooms, it's like, I don't know from firsthand experience, right? But the, you know, there's one peak and then he comes, he's gonna go down and have a second peak coming. We talked to him on peak number two.
I don't know, but I cannot wait for the next podcast. I'm gonna let him chill his heels tonight. I need you to do me a favor, create a little promo out of his greatest hits there. Because he was great right before we started too. I was super stoked. It's what you get. That's authentic him. I'll take it every time. Cause this is entertainment. Listen, folks, you see car wrecks, I see entertainment. I see content in binary. Have a great day. That's a delicious beverage. Have a great day. Thanks for watching and listening. Thanks to our friends at Blue Microphones, our friends over at Owner's Box Fantasy Sports. Sign up for your Owner's Box account today. Get yourself a Blue microphone. Go to DeanBlundell.com. You can interact with both. Order a microphone and get yourself a Fantasy Sports account. Play some Fantasy Sports with us. DeanBlundell.com. Those are our partners. That's it for me. You done, Sean? You done?
I got nothing left to say. I got to go watch stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to go watch the election. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.